Well, it's Thursday night, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD, and that makes it Bracket Rundown night here on the evening of February 3rd. I'm your host, Chad Short, with an absolutely full panel here. Real quick, we got up top with me here, we got John Tytel and John Stalica. Down in the center square, we got David Dorman. To his sides, we've got David Griggs and Joey
Woohoo!
Fortson.
Yeah.
Down below in the bottom row, we've got Michael Cha back with us again. Only person who's not here who's supposed to be is Rocco Miller from Bra or Bracket Miller, whatever we're calling him. He's had some internet issues.
Yes.
Unfortunately, he is not with us tonight, but you can check him out at bracketeer.org. But
Yeah,
we've got
so
a, yeah. Go
you
ahead,
got to
Griggs.
admire Chad and I got a text from Bracket Miller about an hour or so ago saying that somehow his internet in the whole neighborhood went down. It got cut, so cable's out, internet's out. He's at a bar watching the show and was going to try and find a quiet place to do it. I just wish he would have called in from the bar.
Oh, geez. Well, what we are going to be doing tonight is something a little bit different than what we've done in the past Thursday nights. This is our bracket rundown show. So what I did tonight, though, is I asked everybody here and Rocco, who couldn't make it to the show here, to submit a list of their top 55 teams in the nation, regardless of conference. I took all those lists of 55 teams, scored them kind of like you would a top 25 poll, basically cross-country scored them. Came up with a consensus list of the top teams, used that to build a seed list. I added in the additional teams at the end of the seed list to bring us all the way out to the full field of 68 by adding in the at-large, the automatic bids from the smaller conferences. But what we are going to be doing tonight is revealing almost selection show style, revealing the field of 68.
Yeah.
And we should see a blank bracket on the screen right now. If that,
It's
if everything
blink.
worked right.
And this is a lot of fun. This is a fun show. A few points, Chad. We are not necessarily trying to guess the committee with this particular exercise on the show. We have committee guessing experts here. John Tytel, well, Bracket Miller from Rocketeer.org can't be with us. But like when we did it, this is what we would do if we were the committee, right? But this is not necessarily what we think the committee would do or what it'll be in March. This is what we would do now.
Well, the reason why we say that, Griggs, is because your votes counted in here, and you just threw, and your
My
choices were
votes
so
make
awful,
it
you
more.
threw it off
My votes
entirely.
are why this is better than what the real tournament will be. My expertise is amazing.
I think what we do is just start going down through teams here, and let me start by revealing the only team that was an absolute 100% consensus from all of us. Every single. Even the puppet agreed that Auburn was the number one team overall. And we're going to reveal one team at a time, by the way, for the first 16 teams. Then I'll go a row at a time. But Auburn, number one seed overall. Joby, no doubt about it at this point, I think.
No, they went in. They've now swept the Tide, which is a big deal for Auburn. You may think, oh well, Alabama, which we'll see in this field. Hey, they're supposed to win. No, that's not an easy win, even at home against your rival. And they took it to them. Wow, Auburn, no questions asked that they are number one.
It start we started getting differences all, as early as number two overall, though. The end up team not by unanimous at all, though. Tytel, Baylor comes in at number two. Does that surprise you, or do you agree?
I'm surprised that there's any disagreement. They've lost to Duke and Alabama. They've beaten several solid teams. I understand that they're not undefeated like last year, but like, what more do you want this team to do, guys?
Well, I mean,
Well, they were my number two. They're good.
the team that they were up against that did get votes was Gonzaga. Let me ask you, Stalica, did you where were you on this? Were you with Gonzaga, or were you with Baylor?
I think I had a Gonzaga in the number three hole right here.
Okay, so you did. Dorman, how about you? I want to find somebody who had Gonzaga too to let me see if
I
I
did.
can.
I had Gonzaga over Baylor in a very slim but close. I went Gonzaga over Baylor.
Okay, and let me pull it up here. Dorman, do you want to tell me why? Because here's Gonzaga on the left, Baylor on the right. Why you would have gone the Zags over Baylor?
The schedule strength and everything, and when you look at the resume, a lot goes to Baylor's way, but the strength of schedule was tight, especially out of conference. I just when I saw Baylor on Saturday get beat by Alabama, who Alabama is very good and will be on our board quickly, it just dropped them one slight here. That was the one difference I saw them lose on Saturday, so I gave Gonzaga a tiny bump. But I have no problem with – I have no argument going Baylor over Gonzaga. I just had a slimmest of margins, went with the Zags.
There will be teams in on the first ballot that don't have five true road wins probably. Baylor has five true road wins against the top quadrant.
Gonzaga, on the other hand, has only played one true road game heading into tonight at San Diego. By the way, we're recording this around 10 o'clock p.m. I just want to clarify here. These votes were cast around 7 o'clock or earlier than that tonight, so really didn't include any of the games here from Thursday. Only major game that's gone final so far tonight is the UCLA-Arizona game, but there are a few more coming up this evening, including San Francisco-BYU, Boise State-Wyoming. None of those were factored in. But if they go final during the show, we will discuss them at least and how they might affect the results you see. But let me go, Stalika, to the number four team overall. And I'm going to you because you had this team number eight overall, and they still end up on the one line. Purdue Boilermakers, why don't you like Purdue?
Well, not that necessarily that I don't like Purdue. It's a little bit of a team that's been hard to figure out right here. I mean, one of the knocks I had against Purdue was that they – had the home loss against Wisconsin, but other than that, losing to Rutgers at Jersey Mike's Arena is also going to weigh him down a little bit. I mean, I thought it would have had him on the two, but I'm also more of a fan of teams like Kentucky and UCLA, even considering tonight's results. Well, before considering tonight's result, I should say.
You just made Chad really angry, by the way.
Yes, it's called the rack. Mike, you're a Big Ten guy. Although I'm a Michigan guy, not a Purdue guy. Mike, I think you also had Purdue off of the one line, correct?
Yeah, it's really close to that fourth overall number one seed. I still like Kansas overall, just the sheer quantity of quality wins that they have. I mean, you can make a strong case for Purdue, but my preference is for Kansas.
Okay, and that's, you know, I mean, look at these two profiles here. I think they're pretty close. I think that's not a surprise, maybe. But let's take a look at number five overall.
Chad, what stood out about Kansas is that they have a lot of road wins in the quadrant one area. And that's got to count for something, too.
Oh, it definitely does. I mean, five on the overall seed list is pretty good.
Kansas did end up our number five overall. I just showed that. So at the end of the day, they would both end up in the East region playing each other in a regional final. So is there a huge difference there? Maybe it's a slightly harder path to the regional final for Kansas than Purdue, just being the two seed more difficult than the one. But beyond Kansas, though, number six overall, Titel, this was before their loss tonight to your Arizona team. UCLA was at number six. How far do you think they would drop by losing a game in Arizona, if at all?
Maybe one or two spots, not even seeds, just spots. So you can slide them farther to the left, because I would certainly love to see my Wildcats in San Diego instead of the Bruins. But after watching last year's Gonzaga-UCLA game, I can't say I would cry about seeing that rematch in the regional final in the West.
Yeah, and Joby, let me ask you here. Number seven ends up being Duke. You're an ACC guy. There's the Blue Devils.
I think I'm fine with seven, the Duke, right here, right now. I actually had him eight, but that's not, you know, here nor there. I think after Arizona's win against UCLA tonight to take over sole possession of the Pac-12, I think that's not an indication of Duke. I don't think it's an indication of UCLA even. I think it's an indication that Arizona gets yet another win that was much needed for their resume. So I might even slide Duke a little further after even tonight.
Yeah, when you compare Duke to a team like, say, Gonzaga,
I was going to compare to Duke, who beat Gonzaga, to Arizona, who now you can see we have edited that win today over UCLA there. They're now their best win of the season.
I still think Duke's better. Arizona, okay. Kentucky away from home, that's pretty good.
There's a little eye test. Maybe it's because of my ACC. There's a little eye test here. Duke squeaked by some games they should not be squeaking by, you know, here and there if you go through their ACC schedule, which in a weak ACC. Duke's a two seed right now. I could definitely, hey, I'm there as a two seed. They're not on the one line. Duke has two losses in quad two. The two losses, yes, one was to Duke, but the other losses to Alabama. Gonzaga has taken care of business down the line against still a good schedule right up through it. Whereas Duke, the two quad two losses, when you're getting on the one and two line, it's sometimes, as long as you've done enough, which I think Gonzaga has, to be worthy of number one seed protection. And yes, those neutral court wins mean a lot, even without the road. Duke has slipped up, not badly by any stretch, but Gonzaga has slipped up not at all practically.
Yeah, and that's a fair
point. My concern for Duke is that being in the ACC, are they going to have enough chances to pick up high quality wins the rest of the way?
Yeah, and I guess, are you looking at, when you say slip up, are you particularly talking about Florida State and Miami? Because when you pull Gonzaga up, Duke actually tops out higher. They might not, like when you look at the whole body of work, if you're going to get hung up on Florida State and Miami, I could at least see where you're going with that. But like, you know, they beat Gonzaga, they beat Kentucky.
Tops out a little bit higher, but.
Yeah,
I think it's close enough on the top out. You know, Gonzaga's done has not. You know, it's they've done nothing. You know, Gonzaga's done enough to earn a number one seed on their good, but Duke has just a slight bit on bad. It's not awful. Florida State, Miami are solid teams that one will be in this field and the other might be in the first few out. So it's not an awful losses by any stretch.
Well, I'll tell you what here. We did see Duke there at number seven over. They came not only not a one seed and above Gonzaga like Griggs is arguing, but you know down below Kansas, below UCLA, and Kentucky routed out our two line title without Arizona getting there again before tonight's results. This is probably the team that drops to a three seed with tonight's result. Would you agree?
You got the right mascot, just the wrong city, guys. No, Kentucky's playing great, so it's hard to say that they're not deserving of a two. I think my Wildcats are as good as those Wildcats or maybe some other Wildcats that we'll be seeing shortly. Baylor, Kentucky would be a very fun game. And I'm sure that Dorman being in Chicago would love the other Wildcats to be there as well.
Kentucky won at Kansas. Oh my God.
Kentucky did win at Kansas. That's what got them up to the two line here. You know, it is interesting because I think Arizona probably needs to be up here now, which means that probably Kentucky or UCLA has to drop down. I would probably say Kentucky.
Well, I would say not Kentucky because Kentucky won at Kansas. I mean, and you know, Arizona also lost to UCLA.
And Arizona just beat UCLA. And in fact, Arizona, no surprise. Let's send them to Chicago also, Tytel.
No, please, San Diego.
Well, they are going to San Diego first, then Chicago.
Good, then send them anywhere you want after that.
Briggs better have Notre Dame in his field if Kentucky is so good. So
let's do it
anywhere. But
they were on the board. Close. I think they may have been.
There you go. I would concur. By the way,
yeah.
Let's see here. Number 10 overall. Also on the three line, let's see which region we're showing up here, is Wisconsin over there in the South region. I was going to call Rocco out for this one, actually. He didn't make the show tonight.
I can speak for him.
Okay, you want to speak for him? So tell me why Rocco did not have Wisconsin even in the top 16 teams.
Okay, well, if you pull up their profile here,
okay,
and again, this is me speaking for Rocco since Brackett Miller cannot be here. We're pulling up their profile. And when you look at let's see here it's taking a minute to load. And when you look at I'm glad you did this. I mean, we are comparing Wisconsin to Gonzaga, who we'll just leave up on the screen. Tier four wins are very easy to come by, yet they only have four. Gonzaga loaded up on tier four. How can you not have?
Okay. This
speaking
Wisconsin,
for Rocco. Rocco,
this Wisconsin profile. This is Stalica. Let me ask you. This Wisconsin profile, so much in tier one. That's what's so impressive here, isn't it not? Did we lose Stalica?
No, we got a was it 7-4? Yeah, we got a 7-4 record here as far as tier one right here. I could only think that maybe Rocco is punishing the Badgers for not being at full strength against Providence. I don't know.
They were coming off a loss at Illinois, so recency bias maybe where
we're not going to speculate for Rocco.
No, they belong right there. Maybe even one or two higher.
Number 11 overall, so the three line is Houston. Mike, you had Houston down towards the bottom of the four line. Do you want to make the case why Houston is overseeded by the rest of our committee here on the three line?
I just think the quality wins. I think, yes, they have a gaudy record, but they just don't have the quality wins that should be at the three seed line. I mean, I like teams like Michigan State and Providence and Texas Tech above Houston just because of the lack of quality wins for Houston.
Titel, is there a 3 points from perfection argument here, though, on Houston?
And the injury argument and the fact that they might never lose again.
The injury argument work against them since they've lost key players? I mean, they've continued to win, but...
Well, I think you just explained it, Griggs, is if it only works against you if you start losing. If you get injuries and you keep winning, that's... Impressive.
Right. No. I agree with that. But I was saying that I don't think you reward them for like their injuries. You don't overlook them because that's who they are now. But it's kind of moot because they've continued to win. God, they had Alabama beat.
I will say that I am very impressed with the rundown. I agree with Griggs on the injuries. And when you take the injuries out, I do agree that Wagner should be on the third seed. Three line, because that's who we're talking about, right? You know, only very small amounts lost, not a lot of big wins, only two losses, right?
Wagner, yeah.
We were talking about Wagner. Yeah,
they almost lost to Central Connecticut tonight. We're not talking about Wagner.
Bad night to bring them up.
I didn't know. I thought it was another team with no tier one wins.
I guess Houston is 3 points away from a perfect season so far.
Right. Yeah. Well,
Stalica, finishing up the three line, we have Providence coming in there, begin to play in Buffalo.
Good
as well.
Pick.
Yeah, I think we were going to get the top team in the Big East one way or another, but now Providence has separated themselves with wins at Xavier. They've gotten the split against Marquette, which included a win against the Golden Eagles when they were white hot. So I have to give the Friars some credit right here. We'll also have to see how they do against Villanova upcoming.
Yeah, they have not played Villanova yet, but yeah, they've been everybody else other than a loss at Marquette in that Virginia game early. Let's go down to the four line here to finish out the protected seeds, though. Dorman, let me bring you back in. We're going to start the four line, number 13 overall. It should be showing up somewhere. There it is, Texas Tech over in the South region. You with that?
I'm with that. When I was going back and forth between Texas Tech on the three line versus the four, and when I look at Houston, and we just brought it up, the guys just brought it up, just there's nothing in tier one to write home about. And then you go look at Texas Tech, and it's just the absolute opposite. And I hate knocking the smaller guy from the American Conference, but there's just so much meat on that Texas Tech bone. At Baylor win, Kansas win. We're talking about 1 and 2 seeds there. Gonzaga lost. They were in that game. I had Texas Tech a seed line ahead of Houston, but it's close.
Griggs, I got to ask you here, though. At the end of the day, Texas Tech has one true road win on the season.
Yeah, they do. And it is a good one. It might be the best one that anyone has. And honestly, I just have a stigma with that. I had them number 17 overall, so it's not like I had them miles and miles away from here. But the fact that they only have one is sort of nails on a chalkboard. But look at the ones they didn't get. At Kansas State is winnable, arguably should have won, but it's forgivable. At Providence, I wouldn't expect them to win. At Iowa State, probably not. At Kansas, probably. Like, if you were to tally up the number of wins that or losses that those three teams have at home, it's got to be two or less. So they, while they only have one, they haven't lost. It's not like they've been losing to teams in the 50s and 60s. They've been losing to teams that you're going to see easily in the top half of the bracket. And they've got some coming up against West Virginia and Oklahoma. The way they've been playing, I think they get both of those.
All right. Let's keep things rolling here. Number 14 overall, Joby, we see Michigan State coming in here. I think Mike mentioned them earlier as somebody that he wanted a little bit higher, but there they are.
This is exactly – they're one of the leaders in the Big Ten. They have just a very solid resume. They have potential to move up because the Big Ten will give you those opportunities. This is where – this is right around where they should be. I had them 13, 14. You know, that's definitely a quibble. And so, yeah, this is a team that has it going, has – it's Izzo. Are you going to bet against that guy, especially next month? I don't know, because he's going to have a protected seed team most likely on his hands.
Oh, right. He's got one.
Number 15 overall at Titel. We get the other Big East team here. We get Villanova in. Well, one of the other Big East teams, maybe, we get Villanova in, despite the fact they've lost choice to a team that's not yet in the field.
We're getting all the Wildcats in early, which is always good. Getting swept by Marquette is usually not great. This year is certainly explicable. And I think that this is right where I would have them. And I think that the Purdue-Villanova game would be a very interesting contrast of size with Edie and Travion for Purdue and all of Villanova's like 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", like wing players. Fascinating matchup.
Definitely. Mike. The very last of our protected seeds, they're in the Midwest region. Baylor's opponent, yet another Big Ten team, Illinois. Does that surprise you that we get yet another Big Ten team in here?
No, it doesn't. Illinois has really come on strong. I mean, last week they had a big win over Michigan State, and two days ago they had a win over Wisconsin. So they're really coming on strong. And John alluded to, being in the Big Ten, you're going to get a lot of opportunities to pick up quality wins. So I don't think this is the end of the run for Illinois. And then sandwich in between, they won at Northwestern, Northwestern is actually a decent team, and to pick up a good road win, that only helps their resume.
Yeah, but Mike, my problem with Illinois, and I had Illinois lowest of everybody, quite honestly, was a very, very bad blowout loss to Cincinnati, the loss blowout at Maryland. Those are two losses to teams that are not going to be discussed at all tonight, most likely. And you're talking a protected seed. You're talking to one of the top 16 teams in the nation. I think there's a couple of teams, like a team that maybe that swept Villanova choice this season, that may belong up here instead.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of opinion. Marquette's a very good team, and I had them rated pretty highly. But I like Illinois. I mean, maybe I'm a little bit biased toward the Big Ten teams, but I think Illinois has got a very solid resume.
Greg, you're going to back me up here. Back me up here. The Illinois, we overseeded Bill Illinois. I don't know exactly where you put them.
I had them right next to each other. Okay. Yes, I would. I think that they're just ahead of them, but I do think Illinois is not that it matters for what we're doing tonight. I think Illinois will get there, even if they're not there yet. But yeah, and I like that just a little bit better.
The win over Wisconsin put them into a tie for the Big Ten lead. That is a big deal. That doesn't put them ahead of Providence, but the fact is Marquette isn't there yet on their own conference, and the Big Ten and Big East. It's the Big Ten leader deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah, and
I do believe it is a drop off between spot 15 and 16, and the team you're discussing, if you almost would like to put them all in the same seed line, but someone has to be moved up to 16.
I'll tell you what.
And wasn't there loss to Marquette without Kofi Cockburn?
Yes, exactly. There were some Illinois injuries and suspensions during the Cincinnati and Marquette losses.
Okay. Titel, I want to ask you also about Marquette before we move on, because you actually would have had Marquette down in the sixth line, I believe. So do you want to tell me why we're all overrating the Golden Eagles?
I'm certainly impressed by a sweep of Villanova any year, believe me. and beating Illinois. Like, they have a lot of great tier one stuff, as you can see in the upper left there. I don't like a tier three loss, although that's one of those, like, when you schedule St. Bonaventure this year, it should be a tier one loss, but obviously stuff happens, and Creighton is certainly moving up. That might become a tier one win. They're, I mean, if you all like them there, I'm not going to object or veto, but, like, I just think that seven losses, even against the board, like, they just, they're close. They're close.
Okay. I would offer off one cautionary tale before we go on. I'm assuming Illinois doesn't have what we would call, like, a backloaded or a watered down conference record. Let's not forget Nebraska had, I think, 13 or 14 wins in the Big Ten about 4 or 5 years ago, but we're miles away from the NCAA tournament, no pun intended.
It was
of course, travesty. That was when there were only four Big Ten teams.
Sorry, that was for Sleeka.
Made the tournament that year, and it was deserved. So it was almost looking a little bit like the ACC this year and the Pac-12 this year. This Big Ten, I think we all can agree, is very deep and very rich.
So let's keep things rolling along here. We'll go a little bit quicker now if we got through the top 16 teams. We'll go one seed line at a time. I'm going to pull up all four of the five seeds. These are potential second-round matches for the four seeds. And we've got Xavier coming in against Texas Tech, Alabama against Illinois, Marquette, who we just discussed, they would get Michigan State, Ohio State coming in there as a potential matchup against Villanova. And I think, Dorman, one team we have not really discussed yet that maybe we should is this Alabama team who has beaten three out of last year's Final Four.
Yes, very strong resume. It's they're going to be in the discussion for a protected seed if they're going to make a run to the SEC, let's say semifinals. Look at that. Gonzaga, Houston, Baylor. The list goes on. And they got Kentucky at home Saturday night, I believe that is. So another opportunity to put a huge win in there on their resume. I love this Alabama team, and they're very deserving of this five line.
Hey, but Griggs, I got to ask you, there's one thing that's missing from the Alabama profile, and I'm not talking about the lack of tier four games. I'm talking about what they've done on the road, one true road win.
Right. And when you look at some of these road losses, unlike Texas Tech, they've lost at Georgia. They've lost at Missouri. They've lost. Those teams are like so far from the NIT that they can't even see it from where they are. You know, losing at Memphis, losing at Mississippi State. Mississippi State is at least decent at home, but they're still not going to be on the board. So they're 1-5 with four of those five losses being the teams that will not be on this list tonight. That is a problem. It actually, in my opinion, makes this game coming up against Ole Miss very important. Not that it's much of a showcase game, but if they can't win that one, then my God.
Yeah. By the way, they got to get through a Kentucky game first, but yeah. The game at Ole Miss is, you know, get a road win. It was, I understand that. We got Xavier, we got Marquette, we got Sleeka, we got both Xavier at Ohio State. You're an Ohio guy, a couple of Ohio teams on this line as well. You think
a couple of Ohio teams, and then also Xavier playing in a Big East environment here in Milwaukee. So hopefully that would be their second win at Fiserv, given however they would do against the 12 upcoming.
Let's take a look at the sixth line here. Joby, let me go back to you as we reveal, teams. We got UConn as Wisconsin's opponent, LSU against Arizona, Tennessee gets Providence, and Iowa State gets Houston, all potentially in the second round.
Is my six line, except for I had Tennessee as my last five or so. It's not like I have much disagreement with it. I think the field in this, me saying that, I have a feeling most people had something like that, though Titel had Marquette on this line. I have a feeling I'm not rocking the boat from what most people see. Each of these teams have really good resumes, actually, for a six. Usually at this time, early February, you don't have the depth that you have from Connecticut with their win over Auburn, from LSU that you're seeing on the board, from Iowa State, all those tier one wins. They all have little issues. It's often overall record. It's also in the case of someone like LSU, maybe a little recency issues. These are all teams that have a foundation that don't be surprised if one of them pops up and makes a protected seat. Also, they have the potential to trip up and fall completely off because many of these teams, Iowa State, LSU, they were on our boards in a protected seed spot not too long.
And Tytel, LSU up there on the left has not looked good the past week, though, especially with the Ole Miss home loss that they're coming off of.
You are correct. So there's two different kinds of teams, I think. There's one group of teams like you don't want to play in the tournament. And LSU is one of those teams because of the adjusted defense being number one in the entire freaking nation. There's another group of teams that like you are scared of playing. But as you said, nobody's scared of LSU because of all the recent losses, which is different than wanting to play them. I think those are two similar but different things.
Dorman, I got to see about the team on the right there, Iowa State. You would have had them a lot lower than this. What don't you like on this profile?
It's not that I don't like it. It's more of a recency thing. TCU at home last weekend, someone had just said they were on the protected seed line just probably 2 weeks ago. They seem to be struggling at the wrong time here. Now they're going to Texas and West Virginia, their next two games, which is again going to be two tough places to win. They really need to hold serve and win one of them because recency is going down for the Cyclones.
I might take exception on West Virginia being a tough place to play these days, but
okay, fair enough.
That's about the last two weeks, maybe.
Six straight losses.
In fact, if they can't win that game, that could be a bad sign for Iowa State.
They could use the Texas win in Austin, though.
UConn coming off of that home loss to Creighton the other night also probably would have been a line higher if they'd won that game, Griggs. You agree with me on that?
Probably so, because this was a UConn team that appeared to be improving as the season goes along. And when you look at their paper, it's really good. And you just kind of wonder, how did they lose that game? But a real
just
big
being
win for
good
Creighton.
Samaritans.
Well, Creighton should thank them because they needed it. I think this Creighton team's pretty good. Their net's really low, but everything else is good. And
here's the seven line. Duke's we got Indiana in Duke's bracket there, Texas and Kentucky's, St. Mary's with UCLA and USC over there with Kansas. Mike, let me start with you. You had Indiana lower than this. Do you disagree with the Hoosiers being up on the seven line?
I think seven line's a little high for Indiana. Let me check Indiana's profile.
It is a little high for Indiana. You are correct, Mike. Keep going.
Mike. They do have the win over Purdue, and that's nice, and the home win over Ohio State. But when they're a little bit thin in the number of quality wins, and let's see. And then what they've done, they haven't really done much away from Bloomington. I mean, they correct. Have a neutral court win against Notre Dame. So if they had been an 8 seed, I wouldn't mind too much. But I think 7's a little high. It's too a little bit too rich for me.
I always knew that Mike was a very smart man.
And right here, Joby says out of conference strength of schedule is pretty bad.
Let's pull that back
what
up.
What do you guys like? What do you like about Indiana?
Okay, somebody want to defend Indiana. Dorman, you want to defend Indiana?
The two quad one wins are big, Purdue and Ohio State. But I don't necessarily disagree with David. The road wins are very limited at Maryland, at Nebraska, the bottom of the Big Ten. They're going to Northwestern and Michigan State coming up. They could really use both of those. You'll impress the committee if you can win in Michigan State.
I'll tell you what, Tytel, I want to ask you about another team on the same line here. Where's the meat on USC's profile, which I just pulled up on the right there?
It's a bit of a vegan recipe for the old Trojans there. I saw them beat San Diego State in person back around Thanksgiving, which was a good win at the time and still looks good. Stanford loss, certainly not great, but a three-point game, it happens. Getting swept by Stanford, less good, especially the way tonight's going. I don't think they're going to win in Tucson on February 5th. If they do, obviously, they have a new shining star in the upper left. But, no, I think that they're heading in the wrong direction. We'll see.
They don't have a win against the team that will be in the field yet.
Well, they beat San Diego State. They may
be. Yeah, failed.
Probably. I also like how USC snuck in a game against Pacific in there because that'll make the difference.
Absolutely. You definitely want to be playing the. Hey, Pacific just beat BYU. Come on. Texas and St. Mary's also on this line. That is St. Mary's, California, not St. Mary's of Texas. Let's jump over to the 8 line, though, here, where we've got Davidson, Arkansas, Boise State, and TCU. These are probably at least 3 of these 4 teams that nobody was even looking at about 3 weeks ago here. Maybe we were looking at Davidson at that point a bit. But, Dormer, let me start with you. Boise State, how about this probably the fastest rising team in the nation right now?
Yeah, if it's not Arkansas right there also on this line. Arkansas was on the bad side of our bubble just 2 weeks ago. But Boise State's been very impressive. I've been screaming for the Mountain West all year. I hope some of their conference mates are about to pop up because Colorado State, San Diego State, and Wyoming are all very deserving. This is a very talented, very strong Mountain West conference this year, especially the top 4.
Yeah. Joby, Arkansas. You had them a little bit lower than this.
I had them last on the 11 line.
They're like the Mountain West, Joby.
And one of the reasons why is, all right, you wanted LSU, an LSU team that's not playing as well lately. And, okay, I'm sorry, West Virginia didn't make my field in full disclosure either, so that's not a tournament win in my opinion. So, you don't have anything here. You don't have the gaudy record that USC does. You have a decent record, but not the gaudy record that USC has with a very similar profile. And I'm just not there yet. Arkansas's in the field. I do say they're not playing the first 4 game, but I just don't see them, you know, even sniffing a white jersey right now. That will change. They'll get their opportunities. They're going to have to do it though. They aren't there right now and just have to maintain.
Yeah,
they are playing really well. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Sorry, the one thing both these teams on the board have going for them is that win streak box right there. 14 in a row for Boise, 7 in a row for Arkansas, and Arkansas doing it in the SEC.
But I think Joby and everyone has Arkansas in a different spot right now. Well, I think we all have them in the same spot, but. Like what he said was right. Like they need to keep it up in order to stay there.
Okay. Well, let's take a look at the potential first round matchups now. I'm going to put the 9 line.
Chad, can I say one thing about Boise State?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Boise State is a team that on paper they don't have a win against an at large team, but I definitely think they passed the eye test.
And they've won games in places that it's hard to win games. And exactly. They might not win the game tonight at Wyoming. As we record this, it's down to the wire and it's close. But even if they don't, I don't think it drops them because has anybody won at Wyoming? I think somebody.
No.
Nobody has. So
Wyoming's won at Wyoming.
Thank you. Yeah, I was about to say that.
Yeah, but no, this is not something you really ding someone for. And they're still in first
place.
Close
game, tied at 57.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's 62-57 Wyoming.
Okay. Let's.
Oh. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go on to the diamond.
Yeah.
Let's start looking at first round matchups here. Davidson's opponent, Miami, Arkansas. Here's another Mountain West team. They get Colorado State. Boise State gets Iowa. TCU gets Seton Hall. Taita, let me start with you. Is there anybody on this line that surprises you at all?
Sort of Seton Hall, only because I almost saw them lose to Georgetown a couple days ago. They were down 5 in the second half before recovering. No, I think that all those teams have a tall task because I think the 8 seeds are pretty impressive. I mean, I would not want to play Davidson and watch them make 15 threes. I would not want to play Boise, who might be on a 25-game winning streak at that point.
Yeah, but this Seton Hall team, I've had it much lower than this. And Griggs, when you look at that, you know, okay, you beat Texas and UConn at home, and then you lost at home to St. John's, and you lost to DePaul, and it's a very mediocre, I think it's an 11 seed.
It arguably is. I had them at the bottom of the 9 line, and I think it was more of an indictment of just the teams that we haven't gotten to yet. But, yeah, there isn't much There's way more that has you scratching your head and holding your nose than there is popping out. But you know, we are getting close. We've only got about three lines left.
Yeah, real quick, Stalika, Colorado State. You hated them way down at number about three lines lower than this. You want to tell us why?
Honestly, I think we were probably a little higher on Colorado State just because they were one of the last teams to remain unbeaten, but now that they have, three losses on their record, the only real notable wins at this point are going to be Creighton and St. Mary's, and now they have an anchor in UNLV that's going to start weighing them down a little bit. Honestly, I think that pretty is a team that's going to be a little bit above the cut line, but certainly going in the wrong direction.
Okay. Well, there's the argument against Colorado State. I think there's arguments in favor of them as well, but let's go down to the 10 seeds. And these are the potential opponents for those 7 seeds in the first round. Indiana's opponent on the 10 line would be Iona, not Iowa.
Oh,
Iona.
Yes.
Texas against Murray State, St. Mary's against Oklahoma, and USC against Creighton, who does make the field here. Mike, let me start with you on this line here. Anybody that surprises you among these four teams?
No, not really. I mean, I'm happy to see teams like Iona and Murray State on the 10 line. You know, it can show you that you don't have to be in a major conference to have a halfway decent seed.
Tytel, what about this Iona team? Because you had them, I think, two seed lines lower than this. Is there a reason why you don't like them? Because you are one of the best at guessing what the committee does.
I mean, the Alabama win is a shining star. Everything else is blah. No, obviously, nothing bad in the middle there. And no, I mean, they're certainly heading in the right direction. I'm not sure they're going to win out. Obviously, they should be favored in every game. But as Joby said earlier about Tom Izzo, would you want to bet against Rick Pitino in March? I would not.
You got to agree with that there. Griggs, Creighton's on this line. Creighton is a team that some people had out of the field until they beat UConn at UConn the other night. You would have had them, I think, at about a 3 seed or something ridiculous.
Where did I have them?
Number 26 overall.
Yeah, 26. Yeah, I would have had. That's a 7 seed. Well, yeah. I mean, we've spent a lot of time talking about how good we thought UConn was. They go there and win. They win at Marquette, someone that you were arguing, and a lot of people were, that should be a protected seed. You know, BYU. He's probably 11-ish. I think we're going to see him come up next. That's not a bad win away from home. And I just think that, like, while there's a lot of losses, well, you know, can we go back, please? I wasn't finished. I mean, while there are a lot of losses, like, all but two of them are against teams we've already put in.
Okay. I want to bring up Oklahoma as well. They're on this line. Yeah. I got to make a note about this, though. They actually, by our voting, would have been an 11 seed. However, because of bracketing rules involving BYU, who is the next seed, BYU had to get moved down from this line. Oklahoma gets the benefit, moves up a line. I also have to say that Oklahoma had probably the biggest disparity among us to as high as, I believe, Stalika, you had them as high as number 33 overall. Mike, you had them completely out of the field overall.
No, I had Oklahoma in.
I had him out.
Oh, so somebody had them all the way down and out. Okay, I'm sorry, it was Dorman. You had them out.
Yep. I just don't. You know, not that impressed.
Yeah, I mean, what's going on? Maybe you and Stalika need to debate this and tell us what's going on.
well, we've discussed West Virginia at length tonight, so that road win is not that impressive to this committee. Arkansas, although we're moving up, is a solid win, but the losses are starting to pile up. And to me, a lot of the Oklahoma meat on the bone is in tier four wins. And it just doesn't do much for me. A Butler loss, a TCU loss, I can understand. The Butler loss is almost inexplainable. That was at home. Not impressive, Oklahoma, and not going in the right direction currently. I believe they've lost two in a row.
So Stalika, why do you like Oklahoma then?
Well, I think Oklahoma still has a few decent wins away from home. I mean, there was the West Virginia win that may have saved them, even though the Mountaineers are, ironically enough, at the bottom of the Big 12. Neutral court win against Arkansas, I'll still give a little bit of credit for, but they've also got Baylor and Kansas behind them for the most part. So their schedule is going to get easier. About as easy as it can be in the Big 12, at least.
Oh, that's not an easy schedule by any means, but
that is
no.
Joby, do you want to break the tie on this debate here?
Well, it's funny you come to me because I had Oklahoma 40th. That means right at where they kind of are on our seed list. So I think we got them exactly where they belong, in between where Dorman and Salika are. I think you guys raise excellent points that should be, and we'll cut the baby in half, put them at 40 or 30, 41, as it were, it may be if you take in a pure BYU seeding role.
Let's go ahead then and bring up the 11 line here. And these are the potential opponents for the six seeds in the first round. UConn's opponent would be Loyola Chicago. LSU's opponent would be San Francisco. Tennessee, that BYU team that should have been a line higher. And Wyoming is getting in here as an at-large bid to play Iowa State. Tytel, let me start with you on this line here, first of all. Do you like these non-power conference teams coming in here throughout this 11 line?
From the West, you're darn right I do. I'm a little concerned about BYU. They're currently down 15 at the half, albeit to another 11 seed San Francisco, but they're at home. And Wyoming, I was so impressed. I thought they were going to fade against Colorado State at home the other day, and they gutted out the overtime win after David Roddy fell out. I think that I might have to pick Wyoming to upset Iowa State in that one.
Yeah, as we record this, Wyoming is up late on Boise State at home too, and it should be another huge win.
Yeah.
San Francisco was a team that I think was heading in the wrong direction, but if they get this win tonight at BYU, that puts them solidly back in, Griggs, does it not?
I think it absolutely does. If they go to BYU and win, and I had BYU not substantially lower, but lower than what the rest of the committee has. Assuming, let's just suppose for a minute how. I don't want to say that this is a damaging loss because, as Tytel just observed, it is to a team that's at least on the bubble. But BYU's resume looks really, really flimsy.
And a bad loss is Santa Clara, didn't they, last
Yeah.
week?
Oh, Pacific. I
And
mean,
the
that is.
Pacific was
Oh,
horrible.
my Lord.
And this would now be three losses in a row heading into a game against Gonzaga. That's not what you
Yeah.
want to be heading into a Gonzaga game this
Oh,
week.
yeah.
Yeah.
Arrow's definitely pointed down for BYU.
So BYU could definitely be fading in the wrong direction. San Francisco maybe moving up with this win here. Loyola Chicago, another team that's on this line, has been fading as well, has not really been
Yes.
looking good on the court. Just as a quick note, even though they are no longer in first place, even in the Missouri Valley, since they were our highest rated Valley team for this exercise, I'm counting them as the automatic bid winner. They at least only have four losses, but they've just not been looking good, Griggs, I don't think. We discussed this
They
last night
haven't
if you've
been.
been.
A lot of their wins have been against teams that aren't very good, and they've had to sweat them out. It's they haven't looked good for about a month.
I
Going to go to
agree
the
with
12.
everything. I'm sorry. I agree with everything David just said. We're going to see what Loyola is made of this their next game. They play Missouri State, and that is one in Missouri State, and that's one of those conference losses they have already taken. So we'll see what they're made of, and if they can rebound and win this one on the road against someone that actually throttled them in Chicago.
Getting to the 12 line here, I'm going to reveal each of the 12 seeds one at a time, in fact, because we are getting right to into the first four. We begin with the one team that avoids the first four, and that's San Diego State. So we've mentioned them, the fact that they might make, they should be in this field. They are just barely avoiding the first four, though, as they've slipped up a little bit lately. But from there, I want to go ahead and start with the first two of the first four. These are the higher of the two first four teams. Joby, it's Oregon versus, there they are,
Oh,
the red hot
yes.
fighting Irish.
Wow.
Well, and Notre Dame did take, they did fail to take advantage of the win over Duke this weekend. But Notre Dame has turned it around from what was kind of a stumbling situation to start the year. We all thought preseason, if you go back to those podcasts, Notre Dame, watch out. They got seniors, et cetera. Well, now with Leshefsky, they found the added outside shooter with height. It's a tough matchup. It reminds me a lot from a Virginia perspective of Hauser last year and Huff. This team, Mike Bray knows how to coach a team later in the year. Notre Dame often improves. We're seeing that right now. This is a team that's peeking their head in. You may see them in on our bracket, maybe one of the first you see them in. I think you'll start to see them in a lot of brackets in about a week or two.
And I got to say that that Kentucky win that they had just looks better and better and better. That's your people you beat getting better, making you better. Tytel, the other side here are the Oregon Ducks. We mentioned the other day, they are for 3 days in January in empty buildings in Los Angeles. We wouldn't even be considering them for a bid at all.
True. They're currently leading Colorado on the road at halftime, which I think will obviously only help to increase their resume and put something on the left side there in the upper quadrant or second quadrant. Yeah, I mean, losing at home to ASU is not going to win you any points, obviously, with me or anybody else. But I think they got like six winnable games ahead, including this one, and then the brutal stretch at Arizona and then hosting the LA schools. So if they can pile up a bunch of wins and end up, I mean, I think they'll win at least 20 games. And I think 23 is even like within the realm of possibility.
Okay. The other first four game, these are the last two teams that made it into the at-large field. I maybe a little drum roll with this one here, even. Wake Forest and North Carolina.
That's followed by a sad trombone.
Okay. Let's break it down. Now, first of all, there being three ACC teams in the first four, that is a permissible interconference match of Wake Forest versus North Carolina.
No, it isn't. It's not permissible for either one of them to be there.
Wake Forest, I think there's a case for of somewhat, but Stalika, where were you on these two teams?
I honestly am starting to brace myself for the fact that North Carolina is probably going to make this field. They quietly have won four in a row. They do have a road win at Louisville right now. So in true road games are actually above 500, but obviously beating Duke would probably be good enough to put them in the field right now.
They cheated to get that Louisville win. They cheated flat out. Baycott committed 50 fouls.
By any means necessary. Unreal,
he did an arm bar and the other guy gets called for foul.
Stalika just said, yeah, they've quietly won four in a row. Yeah, it's amazing how quiet your wins are when they're against teams that aren't any good. I just don't understand how you can look at that profile and think, yeah, let's select them.
Well, Mike, let me ask
you. 0-6 against the quad one.
Mike, let me ask you a question here. How is Wake Forest much better than that? Their only quad one win is at Va Tech, who's not really a quad one team. That's a fake quad one team, is it not?
At least Wake Forest has done something away from home. I mean, and this is
Wake Forest beat North Carolina.
They beat Virginia Tech. They won at Virginia Tech, and they won at Virginia. I mean, it's in terms of on the away from home, that's better than what North Carolina has.
Strength of schedule: Wake Forest non-conference 331, North Carolina is 40. I think there's a number there we should look at too. Tytel, are these the right two teams, or did we just all just completely blow this?
I mean, you'll never get the puppet to agree to put the Tar Heels in, even if they like beat Duke by 50 this weekend.
No, if they do that, I will put them in. But if they do something, it's amazing how much my opinion will improve.
But two things. Number one,
I agree. I
would pick Wake in this game because they just beat the Tar Heels by over 20 a couple weeks ago. And secondly, I don't recall if we've ever had a first four matchup of conference opponents. If so, it's very rare, but I never recall ever seeing it.
It has not happened,
but the rules actually there's actually a rule that in the principles and procedures that deals with it says that this is permissible because you're not going to move a team out of the first four to avoid interconference matchup. Real quick,
the last team
on the 12 line, I just want to note this, is North Texas our Conference USA champion, a very good team that actually would have been, had they not been there as an automatic bid winner, would have been, I believe, our second or our third team out on this on this field. Yeah. It was a team that a lot of people liked pretty high. But I want to show you, if we were going to take Wake and or North Carolina out, these are the top four teams that got votes here. West Virginia, Stanford, who's not doing this as a favor tonight, Florida, and UAB. So, Griggs, I wanted you to tell me, which of those four teams would you take over Carolina that you can really say is a good team right now?
Well, okay, taking them over Carolina and saying they're a good team is not exactly the same thing here, but Florida, probably all four of them. There is a team that I really like that their paper isn't there, but God, they're good. I know we're going to see them here in a second, Toledo. I like them better than all four of those, Toledo at least on the court.
Toledo is going to be in this field as an
automatic favorite. Yeah, I know they will. So, but like, yeah.
So that doesn't take North – you don't take a team out by putting Toledo in.
Okay, yeah. Who did I have? I had North Texas. UAB's, I had West Virginia. I'm trying to think. I actually had Dayton and VCU ahead of both of them.
UAB is one at North Texas.
Yeah, I had UAB ahead of them. I had
St. Louis.
UAB has had bad losses at Rice and at Marshall that really are killing them right now when you don't have any wins, any notable wins. But let me show you the rest of the teams that got votes. So you see under the also considered there, beyond those four, Chattanooga, Florida State, Belmont, Michigan, Dayton, off of that win at VCU, despite three home losses in quad four, getting votes and not that far out of the field, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, VCU, St. Louis, St. Bonaventure, and SMU. Let me run through each of you before we reveal the rest of the field here. Actually, Dorman, let me start with you. Is there one or two of these teams that you think we improperly left out?
I have UAB ahead of North Carolina. I'm with David on this one. They do have, if you're going to look at, they do have two tier one wins. And to me, with less opportunities than North Carolina has, I lean UAB there.
Okay. There's a UAP profile.
And three of them on the road. So I lean UAB over Carolina.
Okay. Louisiana Tech is probably going to drop down to a tier three. They just lost to Florida Atlantic tonight, by the way.
Yes.
But Tytel, how about you?
I think you're all kind of sleeping on the Gators, not because they're a great team, but because of the Colin Castleton factor. He's now missed six straight games. When he's healthy, he's getting double-doubles, and they're beating Ohio State on a neutral court. When he's hurt, they're losing by 16 at Mississippi. Like, he is a game-changer for them. I think he'll be back soon, and I think that because of that, you can explain away some of the losses. Not Texas Southern. That was atrocious. But, like, I think that some of the SEC losses are explainable because of his injury.
Who did I ask? Stalika.
I'm glad at least we're not considering Cincinnati here, but they also missed a chance because of weather tonight, so their game against Memphis got postponed.
Yeah, no, Cincinnati, I don't think you've got nobody even voted them top 55. Mike, is there anybody here that you think should have gone into the field that we did among these teams that just missed out? Did you like what we chose, actually?
Yeah, basically like what you chose. I try to make sure to stay away from Michigan. To me, it's like they got to do something of note to get me to change my mind.
Let's
Michigan does well. That gives Carolina a really good tournament win.
That's true. That is very true.
Yeah.
I'm going to quickly go through the 13 through 16 lines here. Just as a note, Griggs, as I pull the first one up, if people are more interested in these teams, what should they do?
They should watch the Under the Radar podcast that we recorded last night. We discussed everybody you're going to see here for an hour. Not a piece, but like for, yeah.
Hour piece. Yeah. New Mexico State as Texas Tech's opponent. Oakland for Illinois' opponent. Vermont for Michigan State's opponent. Toledo against Villanova. Oh, Villanova's in a little trouble there, I think, actually.
Yeah. It's too bad they couldn't have locked out and gotten the winner of the Wake-North Carolina game. That would have been a much more beatable opponent.
Now we get to see Tytel, who your Arizona Wildcats play among the 14 seed.
Come on, Princeton.
And you just nailed it.
Wow.
There's Princeton against Arizona.
One of my alma maters against my other alma mater's arch rival. You couldn't get enough red and blue clothing for me to wear to that game.
South Dakota State. South Dakota State's Wisconsin's opponent. Furman is Providence's opponent. Wagner is Houston's opponent. The 15.
Hey, I told you.
Who's the really good team with only two losses?
Wagner. They're playing in that game. You nailed it.
Yes. Power painter.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
The 15 seeds. Duke gets Jacksonville State. Kentucky gets Appalachian State. UCLA gets Weber State. Kansas gets UNC Wilmington. And finally, on the 16 line, we would have Auburn matching up against somebody here. Against the winner of a Longwood-Colgate game. Baylor gets the winner of the Louisiana battle between Southern and New Orleans.
Oh, that would be a great first four game.
Yeah. Gonzaga gets Hawaii there, and Purdue gets Norfolk State, the best team from the state of Virginia.
Chad, isn't Southern U isn't that in New Orleans? I'm just
Southern
wondering
if Southern is in Baton Rouge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but that's a Louisiana rivalry.
Indeed, they do not play during the regular season, at least in this year. On that note, this is the entire bracket. Anybody that wants to check it out after the show, it's going to be down below us in the write up here as well. But I want to go through each of you for any other final thoughts on the bracket or anything else you want to discuss here. Mike, you're on my screen, so you're up first.
Overall, it's a good bracket. I mean, you're not going to always agree with everything, but I think it's early February. There's with 5.5 weeks to go. The separation now is small, but obviously there's going to be a lot of key games, and that's going to be very pivotal. And we're going to separate the men from the boys.
Yeah. Speaking of separation, I meant to mention this earlier here. When it came to North Carolina being our last team in, when I did the vote tallying, normally between one team to another, it's 1 point, 2 points, 3 points. The gap between North Carolina as our last team in and West Virginia as our first team out was 22 points, which is an astronomically big gap when it comes to these exercises. So, Griggs, it wasn't even, even though they were our last team in, it really wasn't even close. Joby, your final thoughts?
Six straight losses are the reason why. West Virginia, what have you done? I mean, this was even thought of that they'd miss the tournament even 2 weeks ago. Now they're, with our view, on the way out. And if you look at bracket matrix and other locations, they're hanging on to an 11 or 12 in most other publications as well. Interesting thing about this field, we kind of touched on as we were running through. The sixth line actually has pretty good depth, reasonable resumes, maybe future if things go right, future ability to become a protected seed. That is a little better than it normally is. We often complain about the lack of quality. I'm seeing some quality through like Texas on up in the mid seventh seed upward that you don't normally see. However, that comes with a cost, and the cost is the chasm and the drop-offs that you see after that fact. I really don't see the 8-9 team challenging the ones this year like sometimes you see. I think that the gap is harder than it normally is there. And so that, as it plays out in the tournament, could lead to, because we're talking about the seventh seed, a lot of favorites winning in the round of in the first round and advancing to the Sweet 16, as it were, those from those seven seeds up. I don't know how many double-digit upsets you're going to see in either the first or second round this year. It could be an unusually low year.
Good point. Dorman.
I'm going to go a little off of our bracket. One of the great things I find about college basketball is come March, almost every team in the country, I know a few in the Ivy this year don't, but almost every team in the country, Division I, gets a shot to get their spot in the NCAA tournament if you can roll and win your conference tournament. I think that's really cool. I think it gives everyone a chance. It gives everyone a shot come March. Well, a couple of conferences did what I think is just absolutely awful. James Madison next year is leaving the Colonial, and next year Stony Brook is leaving the America East. These conferences decided to tell these schools, well, you know what, you're going to leave, so we're not letting you in our conference tournament this year. It's awful. It's terrible. The kids everyone always says, well, these are student athletes. This basketball is for the kids. The kids have nothing to do with conference affiliation. They don't make money off of schools jumping up and down to better conferences with more money. And then the conferences say, oh, yeah, you're not going to play in our conference tournament. You're done. I think it's wrong. I think it's terrible. I think the NCAA should actually step in and make sure these kids get a chance to play in their conference tournaments. It's not right.
Well, I got to say, first of all, I agree with you about the kids getting screwed. I disagree with you about being fully really the conference's fault. I actually had this little talk about this on our Under the Radar last night. If anybody out there wants to go back and get my thoughts on it, I know we're running low on time, but let me keep things rolling along here. Tytel, you're up next.
I love all the rematches you got here, Chad. Duke, Wisconsin is the 2015 title game redux. Arizona, Kentucky in overtime in 97. My Wildcats only national championship ever. Gonzaga, UCLA possibly in the regional final in San Francisco. Gonzaga's reward is that they get to go to UCLA's home state to beat them again after their magical Final Four game last year. And then I think Purdue's great, and I know Matt Painter's a good coach. I don't know if he can beat Jay Wright and Bill Self back-to-back in March. That's a tall task.
The only problem is I think Jay Wright has a problem with Toledo and a problem with Ohio State before he gets there. So that's a tough bracket for Villanova, honestly. Stalika.
I'll go in a random direction right here and talk about a little game I saw on YouTube earlier today. It was the 2000 America East Championship between Hofstra and Delaware. A couple notable players in that game. One was Mike DeGeese for Delaware, who's now the interim head coach at Louisville. You got Speedy Claxton, who's now actually coaching at Hofstra. And then the head coach is on the sidelines, Mike Bray, who may be going into a swan song here with Notre Dame this year. And of course, on Hofstra's sideline, Jay Wright, who's, we know what he's done at Villanova right here.
That's a heck of a game there, yeah. America East, too. Griggs, you want to finish the show off?
Stalika, one more time. You said you wanted to go back to 2001 America East?
No, 2000.
Wow. Oh, 2000 America East. That is so obscure. Well, I was going to go back to the 1986 Metro, but I figure I'll save that for another week. As this bracket was being revealed, line by line, I was stunned at how close it was. It literally, until we got to the first four, I don't think anybody was more than two seed lines off, or if it was, it wasn't one or two. If I were trying to guess our committee, I would have done about as well as Tytel does when he guesses the actual committee, until we got to the end with Wake and North Carolina. So anyway, I was just kind of amazed at like how much you all think like me. Maybe you all are smarter than I thought.
I guess on that note, I do want to take
one more thing, Chad. In this will just be 15, 20 seconds. There is bad weather all over the Midwest. Some of the games have been canceled. Mm-hmm. Some have not been.
Iowa, Ohio State.
Yeah, I just hope everybody is in its ice. It's not like it's not snow or anything like that. I know that there's a lot of pressure on these administrations and these teams to get to their sites, and they're on these buses and they're at the airport. I just hope everybody makes it through the weekend.
Yeah, be safe. You know, stay home, stay at the location you're at for a couple extra days. Don't do anything stupid out there.
Yeah. And you know what? If a game gets postponed, it's better than having a bus go off the road.
Or a plane, for that matter, yeah. as Mike would know as a Michigan fan. On behalf of John Tytel and John Sleek up here, Joby Fortson now in the center square here. To his sides, we've got David Dorman and Michael Cha. David Griggs way down below. I'm Chad Sherwood.
Why am I way down here? Us. I want to be up there.
Oh, God, all the buzzers, everything's going off, Griggs. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Great ending. Great.